Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. We there.
Fun show today. It was good, like, talking about the White Sox stories, the fairy dust stories of all of the contributors that have made this season a lot of fun. Having a little bit of Cubs joy on our show. It was the last time we did that. It's been a minute.
You found Cubs joy?
Yeah, there was some Cubs joy.
Good for you.
Had a little fun with it and enjoyed the comeback. And, you know, just, it's nice. It was nice to, and then it was like, oh, bleep, Bryant might be hurt before they trade him. But
I don't have it in me. Now, to be fair, last night I did not even go into the two TV room. I was just like, I'm just.
NBA Finals?
Yeah, it was no baseball for me last night. I've watched the full recaps today, read about, know what happened, obviously, but it was, I was totally locked in on game six. But yeah, being on social media when the Bryant thing came out, I was like, oh, here we go. Like, I didn't know what was happening. But it's real hard for me to find Cubs joy right now because the trade deadline is like the sad whimper of the finish, and then the standings are the reality that they're not playing meaningful games. And so, like, good on you if you can find it. I'm not in that headspace right now.
There's the limbo, too, that every Cub fan is in, where it's like, sure, the game's on and it's the Cardinals, but you know that the roster is going to look different in 10 days.
Yeah.
How much emotional investment do you want to pour into it? And I think that you're probably indicative of a big chunk of the fan base being like, I'm not going to pour anything into it.
Yeah, well, baseball's it's different than football, right? Like, you only get 16 of those. Now you only get 17 of them. So if you got a 4 or 5 win football team, you're still watching your team. You still, like, there's a finite number of people who's going to be a part of the team next year. You can go worst to first really easily. But, like, you cherish those football Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, whatever it is. In baseball, there's so many of them. And when you're coming off of a 6-year run of every game having meaning and significance against it, it's not like the worst thing in the world to have a little bit of a break.
Sure.
From like the everyday, you know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Rossi literally said that to me yesterday. He was talking about like the All-Star break and the importance of getting away from it because
yeah,
it's such a grind. I'm laughing because on Monday, a friend of mine said, hey, I haven't gone to a baseball game yet. Let's go. But, oh man, the season's like almost over. I was like, no, it's not.
A lot like, of games left.
I'm like, no, it's not. Like, at the time, each of the teams still had 70 games left to play. And then this person was like, why is baseball so long? It was like, that's a great question.
It is a great money, and that's how they used to do it 120 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, that's pretty much sums it up.
I was like, the Cubs have like 35 more home games if we want to go.
And I'll be at a few. Like, it's
me too.
It's a good time. Like, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily a watch from first pitch to last pitch, 3.5 hours of your night, every single night type of obligation right now. Because even for teams that couldn't win a title but were building towards it, if you're a hardcore fan, if you love the team, like, you do feel like you want to be watching those games, right? 2014, 2015 before they exploded. Last year with the White Sox, where it felt like it was maybe a year ahead of time and they exceeded expectations. I was like, okay, you're building to something. You're like getting on the on-ramp to contention. So, of course, you want to be there every step of the way with the young guys when they come up or whatever. Man, this team, no thank you. Like, it's you're on the exit ramp, like, you're turning off, you're pulling into the parking lot, like, it's out of drive, it's into neutral, it's almost into P. Like, you know what I mean? This sucks. Like, I am not interested in wasting my time on this. And hopefully next year it's different, right? Like, and still go to the park and have some fun. And I think we talked about this. We'll see what happens after the deadline. But once the deadline comes and goes and we now know who is still here, Like that last regular season home game, you're going to get a chance. You don't know when you're going to get to say goodbye to Chris Bryant, right? They could trade him to an American League team. He could not be back at Wrigley Field for 4 years. Like it could, you know, who knows when you'll get to say goodbye to him. But there's a chance that you get to like say goodbye to Javi Baez and like kind of tip your cap to him. So that last regular season home game, I think, will be something that would be a cool thing to go to as a Cubs fan. But between now and then, man, I'm just being honest. There's not much.
No, I get it.
There's not much.
And even I don't even know for Cubs fans, I don't even know if the White Sox coming over there is a draw this year. Like, I'm sure that there'll be Cubs fans who are there.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying like the investment in Cubs and Sox, because the franchises are in different places. So it becomes like less fun.
And you can't even play spoiler because the Sox lead is so big.
Right. And what I imagine is Cubs fans being like, I got Sox fans friends and I like money. You take my tickets and go see your great ball team over at our great building.
Yeah, especially because Cubs tickets have gotten so expensive and this will be a year that season ticket holders probably lose money given that they're not selling out games, right? I know a few Cubs season ticket holders that they're in the red. And they're having trouble getting rid of some of those weeknight games. And even some of the weekend games aren't selling out, but you can usually find people to go. So that they haven't sold out. Like they're not selling out. The 35,000 is a good number for them.
I mean, it's a great number, but not for them.
Right. Yeah, it's a good number for them right now. It's a great number compared to the rest of the sport, obviously. But yeah, if I owned Cubs season tickets and Cubs Sox came around and someone was willing to give me 2X or 3X face, whatever that'll end up being, yeah, sold. Thank you. Enjoy.
Easy.
Yeah, absolutely. But are you going to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I'm going to Milwaukee Friday.
Friday, yeah. Tanny's going Saturday. I think Shane's going Saturday. So you guys are going to take it over. It's been Wrigley Field North.
We'll see. I mean, they're first place team. So it's not like you're walking into Milwaukee and you have a Milwaukee team that's just notching games off the schedule. I expect there to be some heat in the ballpark this weekend.
Yeah, but we've seen a lot of those Cubs-Brewers games, right? Like it's a good fan base, but it's not the biggest fan base, and it's a fairly big stadium. Like there are tickets available.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? So even if you get 25% of the building to be White Sox fans, 10,000 people can make their voices heard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like yeah. I expect there to be heat, but the only thing is that there's such a big contingent of Cubs fans that do the calculus of, I live in Lake Forest.
Right.
It's easier for me to go see the Cubs up there.
Easier and cheaper.
Versus me driving through 2 hours of traffic to get to Wrigley Field. I don't know. I mean, there are some, but I don't know how many White Sox fans are kind of in the same boat.
Because you can get tickets for cheap at the South Side whenever you want to.
Exactly.
Sure.
But I do think that we're in a chest-pounding mode right now.
Hell yeah.
And taking over ballparks is, like, that plays right into the chest-poundingness of it.
It's a little meatball-y, but I love going on the road and being a fan.
Me too.
It's a lot of fun because you kind of feel like, not that you're actually making an impact, but you're like, yeah, it's a little bit of a game for me too. Got to have my head on a swivel in case anyone takes this a little too seriously and is too drunk or whatever, and you want to cheer.
We up in here.
Yeah, exactly. You want to like say something, maybe taunt a little bit, but don't go over the line, but you don't know. And so, yeah, it's fun. So I hope White Sox fans go. Are you going to be in the second half prioritizing home field advantage? Like scoreboard watching Boston and Houston?
No, I don't. I mean, it matters, but I just feel like if the White Sox starting pitching staff is healthy, they can win anywhere. So it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. You certainly can win anywhere. I think the advantage of playing the winner of the wild card game in that first series, where in theory they're lining up their aces for that game, so you get, you know, say Rodon's your game one starter, like you get Rodon against their game two starter having to travel, as opposed to Rodon against Sale or Rodon whoever the Astros.
He's back.
I know he's back. He's back. But so like, it's one of those things where like if you can get it, get it.
Yeah.
But don't burn out your arms going for it in the dog days of summer.
Yeah, don't have Aloy dive for balls in Charlotte to get you that.
He's just that guy, man, right?
I know that they have done everything to try and convince him of his importance. I know that that for a fact that the White Sox have talked to him multiple occasions about, yo, man, you don't need to do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. And yet, here we are with him diving for balls in Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, and it's obviously not something he should do.
Ever.
But Giannis shouldn't shoot threes unless they're up 20. And there he is in the finals game in the first quarter of a two-point game, jacking up threes because he's like you get in that moment and the guy's off you and he's challenging you and you're like, I've made it in practice and he shoots.
Yeah, but Giannis is not going to hurt himself shooting a three.
That's true. That's true. Could hurt your team's chances. But my point is, you know they've talked to Giannis about that's not your best shot, that's not our best offensive possession, and then you get there and you do it.
I mean, I still would be unhappy if it happened on the South Side in a non-playoff game, but Charlotte, Aloy, just let the ball fall in front of you. No one cares.
No one cares. Yeah. Can you coach the athleticism out of the athlete?
That's the aggression. Like, it's, that's what we're talking about. Like,
it's not a switch that you can just flip for these guys.
It's hard. Like, I know that he's probably, like, to me, I'm looking at 2021. That's it. Can they win right now? And the best way, part of the best way for them to win is for him to be healthy and in the middle of their lineup. And I know that they've talked to him about that. And still, he's looking at the mosaic of his entire career. And thinking, I'm an outfielder. I can play outfield. Let me show you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to convince you. But every time he tries to convince us, he runs into a net, runs into a wall, runs into Luis Robert, runs into the ground.
Yeah, Tim Anderson's next.
Right? I mean, the White Sox is a team. If there's one bone to pick with them this year, their communication on pop flies.
Yeah, they run into each other.
Is horrendous.
they're real close. They were like one of those cars with like a lane keeping assist. They keep beeping at them all the time.
What's Yasmani doing out there? Get out of here. You're not even supposed to be over here.
But you're 100% right. I don't think that he's that guy. Maybe it'll happen. Like, maybe he'll mature into it. But hasn't he showed you enough? Like, we thought they were putting up the net to protect the fans from the 110-mile-an-hour ball. They're actually putting him up for a backstop for Aloy in left center or left field.
It was so upsetting. And I get, like, why the Charlotte people put it out there, because it was a good catch. But it was so upsetting. Like, I was just like, stop! Like, stop doing that! Please.
Yeah.
We are begging you to stop doing that.
And when do you think he's back?
I think he's back before the month is up.
Yeah.
I think next week he's back.
Next home game, next home series after Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that'll be fun.
Pretty crazy, right?
Pretty crazy.
And now we know that Luis Robert is on his rehab assignment as well.
Right, batting third and playing center field tonight for Winston-Salem.
Terrific.
Well, in terms of timing, at the beginning of the year when it happened, I remember us talking about my theory of, oh no, is it season from hell? Is it like one thing happens and the next thing happens and the next thing happens and then you wake up and all of a sudden they somehow won 84 games with all that talent? They've clearly put that theory or fear to bed.
Even though it was literally this happens.
It was crazy. It was crazy. It was like, right? It was Aloy. It was Robert. It was
Madrigal.
It was Angle, the hamstring and the setback. It was like Tony stepping in it with Mercedes, and then the guys like bucking back against him. It was like all these things.
Then you had Tim miss time, and you had Moncada miss time. You're like, oh bleep, and then Grandal gets hurt.
But they just keep ripping off wins, and the story of the team is one of resiliency and perseverance and all of that, and it's incredible. And now you just got to make it work. It's got to just click and fit together and be playing well heading into the postseason.
I love that White Sox fans for 2.5 months get to just kind of walk around and peacock.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen in October, but I know my team's got a pretty insurmountable lead in the American League Central.
It's insurmountable.
No one's coming to get them unless there is some magic elixir for Cleveland. And then if they were healthy, I feel like it would be more competitive, but they aren't.
Right.
So I don't see it changing. So now, like, this is a position that White Sox fans have never really found themselves in. In the modern era, like, it's just kind of like, oh, wow, our team's really good. And we don't have to worry day in and day out about what happens in a game. Like, even last night, before they mount their five-inning eighth or whatever, I'm just sitting there like, you lose one.
Right.
Not a big deal.
Absolutely. I'm with you, and I think that that's healthy and fun, and it's a privileged place to be as a baseball fan. We were joking about it yesterday. The guys got on me when I would say, all right, let's just get to October, or all right, let's just get to the playoffs for the Cubs. But like, you get to that point where it's like, I want to see them playing in the games that matter, that you'll remember, the measuring stick games, the division clinchers, the playoff series, the playing for the pennant, that sort of thing.
I'm not there yet because of what I was talking about earlier. All of these little moments, and you had a couple of them last night, where, like, here's another game where Billy Hamilton plays a significant role in it. And throughout the season, it's been whoever they've gone to. It doesn't matter if it's Vaughn or Berger or Leury or Goodwin or Billy. Like, it doesn't matter. When they've gone to those guys have been ready to perform, and they come through. And it's fun to just kind of kick back and watch that. So I haven't got to the place where I'm jumping ahead, but I'm trying to stay present because I think that the guys that have done some of the dirty work, the non-stars that have done the dirty work, they deserve my attention.
Yeah, and I'd say if the number one story is one of resilience, and then the number two story is the, like, Rodon and Lance Lynn and just like the high level pitching that you're getting consistently. Mm-hmm. I think that's the third biggest story of the season, is that seemingly every button that they push, your mean Mercedes carries them for a month. And man, they're chanting Billy Hamilton's name.
He's a cult hero on the South Side now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy thing.
900 games into a major league career.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about it a little bit later. It's not the most original conversation, but I love thinking about sports from the GM's perspective. I know it depends on who you get back, but Dan and Layla had Steve Stone on, and he said the most important thing this time of year is that you scout your own team correctly, that you know who maybe the league overvalues that you think is good but not great, so you know like who to trade with, right? So it's not as painful. Who's the best player you'd give up?
I'd really have to think about it. Oh.
Because don't you think that that's...
From the active roster.
Yeah, or
just organizational.
Yeah, the most valuable piece that you'd give up, is it Jake Berger? Is it Gavin Sheets?
Sheets was the first one that came to mind when you asked the question. Because he's got some, you know, left-handed pop. Like, every team is looking for that.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to listen to a lot of different conversations, but I also...
You listen on Andrew Vaughn?
Yes.
Okay. So I think then that's probably your answer. I can't imagine, like, because you're not listening on Kopech.
Not now.
Right.
If they were more desperate... See, I don't think that... We talked about this last week. I would prefer that the White Sox go get a second baseman and a right-handed arm in the bullpen.
Yep.
Kopech might be that arm, and you don't need to go make any trades to get it. They're going to get enough offense from Aloy and Robert coming back. You can live with whatever combination that you have at second base. If Cleveland were closer and had better potential to make this a fair fight for the rest of the season, I'd be more willing to be like, we can have a discussion. I'm not trying to give the guy away, but
right,
we could have a discussion. But now I feel like Rick could do nothing at this trade deadline And I think it'd still be the right move.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think you need an arm in addition to Kopech. Right. But you don't know that guys are going to be healthy in August and September, and that's why I think it's the wrong move. Like, I think that if you are 99% to make the playoffs at the trade deadline and you don't add, that's just bad management.
I understand.
And he will add. Like, he's going to add.
I think he will, too. But I also think that if you look at what you're hoping to get back, and both of these guys have kind of outrun their timeline with Aloy and Robert, and just inserting that, and then you've got some decisions to make roster-wise on what to do. You've probably got to start inventing injuries for players that you would like to keep around, just so you know. Like, what happens to a guy like Brian Goodwin, who's been fantastic for the White Sox? If Luis Robert is healthy and Adam Engel is healthy, Billy Hamilton has a role. What do you do with a guy like that?
Right.
Like, to me, he's a guy that you stash. Hey, Brian, your oblique looks terrible today, man. And it's going to look terrible for a whole month while we hide you.
Yeah, and I think that that's reasonable. Every team needs bullpen help, right? You can always upgrade your bullpen. You carry too many pitchers. So the White Sox will add a reliever, if not two, I'd imagine. And I would think you'd want to upgrade second base if you could go out and get Escobar or Frazier or whoever.
I mean, Frazier's the guy that I want.
Yeah.
And I think that he adds something to their lineup that is more than Madrigal. Like, it's a guy that can get on base, plus he's got enough pop. Not that Madrigal wasn't showing pop before he got hurt. He was starting to hit balls to the gap, and he was hitting balls over the wall. But that's a guy that's going to be here next year, too.
It's also more pedigree, too, right? Like, you having a few young guys that, like giving Andrew Vaughn playoff at-bats is totally reasonable. You think that he's a blue-chip hitting prospect who's going to be in the middle of your lineup for the next 5 years. But if you can get an all-star second baseman, I don't know that you need to be giving Nick Madrigal a ton of at-bat like right now.
This is the really interesting thing about doing that job is his job is supposed to be White Sox now and in the future. I actually think that he could scale it down. It's about right now. Like,
Theo
about
used
2021.
To talk about that. He would, you're right, because Theo would talk about how manager's job is that day's game. His job was the roster for the manager to win that day's game, but also the roster for the next 3 years, 5 years, right? And thinking about it in the big picture. But once you're in the season, he would always say that you owed it to the guys. If they played your way into contention, it was then his job to kind of narrow his focus to, okay, what do the 25, then 26 guys now in that clubhouse, what do they need to give them the best chance to win this year's pennant, win this year's ring? And if that comes at the expense of my three-year plan or my five-year plan, that's what I owe the manager and the players.
I think that's a good way to go about it, because this is going to sound bad when I say it, but hopefully you and everyone else will understand what I mean. It would be arrogant of Rick Hahn to be staring an opportunity to win the 2021 World Series in the face and then be like, well, we have to worry about 2024. That's arrogant, because your franchise has had a long time between the last time that you won the World Series and making grand plans. Now, making the grand plans is what got you here in a position to win this year's World Series. And it's a delicate tap dance that everyone has to do that's in that job. But for me, if there's a championship that's staring you in the face, that's why I get mad when people talk about, well, the Cubs got there early. No, they got there on time. For they did what they needed to do in that year to win the 2016 World Series. And luckily, they had enough good players that were under control that they could continue to compete. I feel the White Sox are in a similar position.
But so you would not, you would not be critical of Rick Hahn if he didn't make a move?
I don't think so.
See, I think that
I would be. I'm arguing both sides
of
this.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to
I'm arguing down. Both sides of it. But personally, I could see him going, yeah, we could probably use another arm, but we know how we're going to use Kopech, and we're getting him ready as we speak to maybe be the length guy, and they're doing the thing where he pitches two innings or he pitches back-to-back days. Stuff like that. Like, you feel comfortable with it. I know that he's on the phone, that sure. he's trying to make the team better, but the balance of what do I give up for what does it cost me? The cost-benefit analysis. But I understand anyone that's like, the cost-benefit analysis is you have a 77-year-old manager. Your team is in a great position to win this year's World Series. If you have to go overboard, if you have to have an embarrassment of riches, and that ends up with you getting Adam Frazier, and let's call it Craig Kimbrell, just for poops and giggles. Great. No one's going to be mad at that. I'll be excited about that. But I would understand the thinking of, my team's pretty good when I have all the parts back, and thinking that you will have Aloy, Luis Robert, possibly Grandal at the end of the season. You're like, eh, we're World Series ready, like right now.
They absolutely, they're great. They're awesome. Like a fully healthy White Sox team is able to win the World Series with no additions. But Rick Hahn's job is to maximize their chance of winning the World Series, right? So if they've got a good chance,
make it a great chance.
Make it a great chance.
I completely get it.
That cause, I know you do. Like just the because then next year, what if someone blows out their arm, right? And then what if Cleveland's awesome,
right?
And then you find yourself in the wild card game, and you know, and then you lose it. No, so like, so that to me is why.
That's what I meant about like the arrogance. Will add. Like that's what I meant about like the arrogance yeah. of the future. Like we're gonna be good for a really long time. Maybe, probably, considering the core of guys that you have, but it's in front of you.
Right, so a texter says, well, no, it's not, because trading Andrew Vaughn for an average second baseman is dumb no matter what the context is. That was why I started the conversation at the beginning of, who's the best player you're willing to trade? And then that's what you got to operate on. And if I'm Rick Hahn, wherever that falls, if it's like, I will not trade Andrew Vaughn, but I will trade Jake Berger, right? Like, it's like, okay. Then you should be trading Jake Berger to maximize this year's team. And then next year, if the team's in the same place, you do the exact same calculus all over
again.
Right,
you start all over.
You start all over again for if next year's team is six up at the deadline and they're locked into a playoff spot for all intents and purposes, you do the same thing. Okay,
that's right. I'm trading Nick Madrigal to the Cubs.
Right, because you are convinced that he absolutely needs to be on a jersey in red and blue.
That's right.
Again,
he is Ryan Terrio part two. The riot.
The riot.
Part two.
We all had it. We all had one. I'm not ashamed to admit it. We all had it.
Wait, who was the other guy?
Fukudome.
No.
There it is. Thank you, Shane. That you knew exactly where I was going. Mike Fontenot.
Zobrist.
Scrappy Whites.
They were tiny too, right? Like weren't both those guys like 5'10"?
Fontenot was definitely smaller than Terrio. He's probably 5'7" or 5'8".
Didn't Lou just call little Fontenot?
Yes, Fontenot. He did. A little Fontenot out there. That guy.
Yeah.
5'8", Mike Fontenot.
The Scrappy Whites definitely move jersey inventory in Wrigleyville.
I always loved his stand-up, Scrappy White.
Scrappy White. Yeah, he's good.
Mike Fontenot looked like he started doing meth when he got over to the Giants. My God.
That happens to everybody.
That took a weird turn.
It sure
I'm
did.
Looking at a picture of him now, man. I am
we,
right.
We take some weird turns, Lawrence. Yeah. 2-6.
Yeah, me too.
Danny, look at this picture.
It's normally when Shane grabs the wheel.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it is.
Danny said I'm right.
He's right.
I'll have to come and take a look. So, Danny, you're rolling solo?
Yeah, except when Shane grabs the wheel. Yeah, but my brother Brad is coming on
at
3 o'clock. Diehard Wisconsin sports fan. My nephew Jack, diehard Bucks fan, follows Wisconsin sports, seems like his dad. They'd gone to a round of the playoffs every round for the Bucks, but then it was like 5 G's to get into the game last night, and 4 o'clock rolls around yesterday, and he gets a call from his wife's friend. He says, get in the car, you're going.
Nice.
Bought him tickets. So they were there last night, the father-son experience, the stories, the flowing robes, the grace, striking. And then Vinny Goodwill, 2 hours from now, he was one of the 11 media members who had a finals MVP vote. I think he got it right, voting for Giannis.
It would seem.
Who won it unanimously. So Brad and Vinny are our guests. Tons of Sox talk, our normal branded nonsense, etc.
Sounds excellent. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Lawrence.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.